All right, so let's get right back into it. We are in our third week of our study of 2 Timothy. I am excited about that. So if you don't know, now you know. We're doing a study through 2 Timothy, and we are going through this whole letter that Paul wrote to his disciple Timothy, who was a leader he's really a leader in the church in that area, but it's specifically he's writing to him in the area of Ephesus at this time, and as far as the writing goes. But we're also doing a couple other things. We're during the week, if you go to our website, we are reading through a lot of the book of Acts as we study Timothy, because they're kind of related. Like this week, you'll read the journeys that Paul is going through during his first, second, and third missionary journey. So you can read along at home to get some little bit more backstory about what we're talking about. And we said the reason for why are we reading through? Well, A, it's why are we doing the sequel first, 2 Timothy. And the reason being, 2 Timothy was Paul's last letter that we had. And it's his last letter, and you can feel that as you read 2 Timothy, his heart towards Timothy, his passion. It's a little bit different than some of the other letters that you read. It's very heartfelt. And at this point, this letter, Paul actually knows that he's about to be executed. He knows that he's about to be, this is going to be the end for Paul. So can you imagine, like, this is your, I don't know, Paul's like, I don't know when the day is, but it's coming soon. So let me write this letter to somebody that he dearly loves. So that's why we're doing 2 Timothy first. I just have a heart for this letter. But also, I want us to be people that read our Bibles. That is our theme as we go through this. Read your Bible. You're like, I don't understand the Bible. You know how I started reading the Bible? I just started reading it. I didn't have a lot of helps. I didn't have, here we go. I'm getting old. Back in the day, I didn't have YouTube. I didn't have videos. I didn't have all these other helps. I may have had a big, huge Strong's Concordance. How many of y'all have a big, huge Strong's Concordance somewhere at your house? Yep. So that was kind of about it as far as helps. And you started reading it. And did I understand all of it when I... No. No, do I understand all of it as I read it now? No. No. But as we continue to read, you grow in your understanding. You can never learn until you start doing it. So you just start. Just start. It's like working out. Just start. Just start. Amen. And so we want you to be confident in your ability to read scriptures. That's why we've also put those helps so you can actually, we give you something that you can read as we do this. Also, as we read this, the second reason why we're doing this series is this is an interesting place. We talked about it. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail this morning, but we talked about where this is written to. This is written to Timothy, who was a leader in Ephesus. And we talked about it. Basically, go back and listen to the other messages. I did a whole thing on Ephesus. And basically, it is a very ungodly place. You think it's bad now? You should have been in Ephesus. Everywhere you went was a reminder that you did not belong. As a believer, as a Christian, you did not belong. Everywhere you went, there is all kind of stuff. Go back and listen to the other teachings that are on our YouTube channel. So how does that relate to us? How do we live? This is a very relevant, as I read this book, this is a very relevant book. This is a very relevant letter to us today. How do we live in an increasingly ungodly culture? Amen? I don't know about you, but you showing up on church, you're becoming rarer and rarer. Amen? But I'm glad you show up. I'm glad we show up. Amen. I'm glad you show up because I need to be reminded that, oh yeah, Rex Ruiz still loves Jesus. Me too. Okay, great. Awesome. So, you know, it helps you as you see each other. Amen. So like I said, 2 Timothy is written to Paul. Timothy is a recipient about 64 to 67 AD. So I want to go, and I like history, so I can't help it. So I want to show you a little bit. I got a couple of maps. You're like, what are those maps for in the back of my Bible? If you still have a Bible. Like a physical Bible. So this is the area that we're talking about when we talk about the ancient world and when the biblical world where we're talking about. Most of it has to do over on this side over here. That's like Turkey, and you see Jerusalem down here in the bottom corner. I know you probably can't see it. should have brought your binoculars or whatever, but I'm doing the best I can. All these, how about this? So this is, so all these darker areas, in 300 years, this is how far Christianity had spread all across this area. Like rapidly, like Christianity spread rapidly. And I don't think we understand how fast. It wasn't just like this was like, many Jewish people would consider these Christians like a Jewish cult, right? All of a sudden, it expands. The fame of Jesus expands very rapidly. And so, so that's that map. But also, I want to go, so when we talk about the letters, we talk about letters that Paul wrote. When we talk about the different letters that we wrote, go to the next slide. So Paul, he did a lot of what theologians call missionary journeys, right? And basically what that is the church sent Paul and Silas and Barnabas different times and sent him out on missionary journeys. So this, I don't know if you can see it or not, but over here is Syria, right? And so on the top of Syria, you see this little place called Antioch. That's where they began their first missionary journey. And you see they kind of go up and they go through, if you can't read, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, then they kind of go down. And then actually they go blue, the top color. I'm kind of colorblind. I don't really even know. One of those things. So basically, it's a long thing, right? So it's a long ordeal. These are the missionary journeys that he did. But one of the things you see is he goes all the way up. Let's see. I got to look at it again. Oh, I should have went over this morning. So he goes in, it goes back. And so, okay, so he goes up to Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, goes back. And then eventually, second missionary journey, he'll go all the way over to the top of what they call Asia back then, which is Western Greece, Western Turkey, yep. And then Troas, then he goes up. Oh, and there you see Macedonia. He's up there in Philippi. That's where we get the letters to the Philippians. As he visits that church, plants a church, and later he'll go back and write back to this church. And then you see he goes there, and then he goes Thessalonica. Oh, wait a minute. Thessalonians, right? So we get that, right? So that's where we get. So eventually Paul will circle back and write a letter back to the church that he planted out in Thessalonica, okay? So then you see, he goes down to 8, then he goes down to Athens, and that's where he talks to all these great thinkers. Mars Hill, big story, Mars Hill. And then he goes into Corinth. Oh, yeah, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, right? So there's a letter that was written back to this church here because he planted this church. And then he travels over and back to Asia in the southern part, and he goes to Ephesus, right? So Ephesus, that's where the church is that we're talking about. And so then he goes along, and then he has another, go to the next one. Another missionary journey, and you see this is the third missionary journey that he took. He leaves again from Antioch, goes to Derbe. On the second missionary journey, when he travels through Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium, is where he picks up Timothy. Second missionary, so think about it. So he picks up, go back to that other picture real quick. So think about it. This is why I wanted to do this. So this, because I want you to know how long he was with Paul. So he picks up on the second missionary journey, to Derbe, Iconium, Lystra. That's he picks up, second missionary journey, picks up Timothy. Yep, purple and green. Thank you. Yeah, I know you can't really see it. But he picks up, and then, like I said, he goes all the way to Troas, he goes up to Philippi. So all of that time, he's with Timothy, hanging out with Timothy. The riots in Ephesus, remember that? I don't know if you remember your Bible. If you read the riots in Ephesus, Timothy was there. Timothy's there. When Paul is preaching and teaching the Mars Hill, when he's kind of expounding who is this unknown God, he says, well, I know who this unknown God lives. Let me tell you, Timothy's there, right? So then he goes down here, third missionary journey. Go to the next one. Okay, so all these places, kind of a little bit of the same kind of route, hits these places, some of the same places again. What do we need to know? Timothy's with him. Timothy's there through all of these journeys. He's traveling with Paul everywhere he goes. And he's his traveling companion, one of his traveling companions. Crazy. It is crazy. It is crazy when you look at that. So I just want you to know like how close and what this means for Paul to write this letter to Timothy, his dearly loved son, as Paul calls him in the first part of 2 Timothy, right? and he's about to die. So he writes this letter to his good buddy, Timothy. I mean, like you would have wrote a letter, right? So 2 Timothy, we're going to start to, in chapter 1, we're going to read a little bit of what we read last week, and then we're going to continue. It's kind of what we're going to do every week, go back and read a little bit of what we read last week. Starting in verse 6, Paul writes this to Timothy. I remind you, therefore I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. He's getting personal. Like, don't get offended at me either. I'm in jail. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And this has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And these things I suffer, and that is why I suffer these things. For I am not ashamed, because I know in whom I believed, and am persuaded, I love that word, persuaded, that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Here we go. This is where we're going to start with our teaching this week. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and in the love that is in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know all those in Asia, not China Asia, right? Back to that other picture, the other Asia, like Western Turkey, all those places, right? He says, you know all those in the province of Asia have deserted me, including, he names them, he just flat out names them, Phulelos and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, because he has often refreshed me and is not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, he was in Rome and he diligently sought for me and found me. See, hear this, like, this is personal. This is a real guy talking to his real disciple. May the Lord grant that he obtain mercy from him on that day. You know very well how much he ministered at Ephesus. So a couple of weeks ago, Nick and my son Wesley decided it'd be a good idea to take old dad to Six Flags. I used to love roller coasters. And I was like, hey, Wesley, you know, whatever. I'm good. I think I rode roller coasters about like 6 years ago, and it was fine. And then so I figure, then they say, hey, what's the first ride we're going to ride? And the first ride that we rode was Twisted Cyclone. And when I looked at it, I was like, it's a wooden roller coaster. Good way to start. I happen to have a video of that roller coaster. This is a video. Twisted Cyclone. So this is good. It's wooden. How bad could it be? How bad could it be? It's not made out of metal. Yeah, okay, I can't look while I'm standing up here. Woo. Yeah, here we go. So this is a big hill. Not even a big hill. It's not even that big of a hill. Good way to start. This is a good way to start. Okay, anyway, I'm gonna tie my shoe while we go to the top of this. Here we go. Here we go. Wooden roller coaster, no big deal. No big deal. And it's at this point I realize I made a huge mistake.
This is not your mom's wooden roller coaster. Yeah. To get motion, maybe I should have made a warning before I... Yeah. Yeah. I literally think I'm gonna fall down up here. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a bad idea. I immediately realized that things change as you get older. Your stomach doesn't stay in the same place as it did when I was 30 years old or younger. It was really tough. And so during the next part, remember that? During the next, Nick was there, oh my gosh. So during the next part of the trip, you know, I would go, all right, I'll ride this one. All right, I'm stepping out, I'm laying, you know, I'm staying out the next one. And like, I literally only rode like three, y'all rode like, I don't know how many, all of them. Yeah, I rode like all of them, Batman, Superman, all of them. I did ride Mindbender, that was a mistake too. It's like different, it's different, amen? It's different. Whew, amen, amen. In heaven, there'll be roller coasters in heaven, and then I'll ride them. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let's just say there wasn't a lot of the day. Oh, and I rode the big one, the Goliath. I did ride Goliath. And actually, that one's pretty smooth and it's fast. It's really, really fast. But anyway, let's just say there wasn't a whole lot of me holding up my hands that day. We'll just say that. And then there was another time. Actually, Rachel was with me on this time. Another time, I went to Honduras, and say this after me: pulapansak. Pulapansak. It's like pull up your sock. Pulapansak. It is a recreational area that we did on our free day, and one of the things we got to do is go ziplining. It was super fun. It was amazing. I actually love ziplining. It's a lot of fun. And but also, what little people know is I don't like heights. And so when I saw the zip line, it was just like going over the river. It was probably about, I don't know, about 60 feet off the ground, 40 feet off the ground, not very high. And like, oh, it's kind of nice. It's like, oh, swing. Yeah, Rachel warned me. I was like, how bad could it be? This is pull up and sock. This is a bad video. Let me just go ahead and say it's a bad video. It's the only video I could find. This is you zip lining. This is where it eventually takes you, over this waterfall, extremely high, really, really high. Yes, that is not me, but it is some other poor person. Yeah. So you know, like, so during that going over the river, it was fine. I was like, woohoo, this is great. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we're about to go over that. And I went, there's trees. Like, it's like going through and then opens up the trees to the, it is amazing. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's it. All right. You can. So I was fine as we're going over the river, but you know what I did when we started going over that? Oh my gosh, Jesus. I do pray in tongues. There was a lot of that happening. I don't like heights. Yeah. So you know what I was doing? I was holding on tight because there was danger involved. You know what I did on those roller coasters? I held on some of those places. Some of you guys still like you're still there. Happens to everybody. I'm just going to tell you. But like, so what Paul says, ha, see? So what does Paul say? He says, hold on. Hold on to the pattern of sound doctrine. Grip tightly the pattern of sound doctrine. That's a warning. That's a warning because Paul's telling Timothy, hey, look, because if you don't, there is a danger that you'll slip and fall into the canyon. Into the canyon of deception. There is a chance that you may, if you don't hold tight to the sound doctrine, you can fall into deception. Me and Julie were talking about this morning. You know, the enemy is all, he is, we talk about this all the time. His number one tool is deception. And he's always trying to deceive. Always. Always trying to deceive you. Always trying to teach, trying to get you to think on things that are not true. So Paul warns his disciple that there's some bad stuff out there. There's some stuff out there that's not sound doctrine, Timothy. And as a leader at the church in Ephesus, make sure you as a leader hold on to sound doctrine. Hold on to it tightly. So what is sound doctrine? What is sound doctrine? What are the things that we're supposed to hold on to tightly? I want to read, actually he says a little bit about it, back up in verse 9, when he says this, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's sound doctrine. That's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of, you don't do this on your own. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus that has saved you and has put a new spirit on the inside of you. He goes through even further. I don't have this scripture, but it's in 1 Timothy. I'm just going to read. Just listen. Let's listen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. You have your Bibles or you have your phones or whatever. You can go there. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. In verse 12, he says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. This is his first letter to Timothy. Even though I was formerly, listen to what he says about his own life. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an arrogant man, but I've received mercy. You know what sound doctrine is? You've received mercy. Because I acted out of ignorance and in unbelief. Didn't you? I did. I know I did. And the grace of the Lord overflowed along with his faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus may demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. That's the gospel. Now to the King eternal, the immortal and invisible only God, be glory, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Guys, listen, what is sound doctrine? You are saved by grace through faith. And you have been given, not only you've been saved by grace, but you've been given the deposit of the Holy Spirit that's within you. And that power works in you to change you into the very image of Jesus. That Paul could say, I was this, but now I am this. That's the gospel. That is sound doctrine. We need to make sure, and we are saved by grace, and the works is a gift of God. We need to make sure in all of these things, sound doctrine says keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing, the main thing. But this is what happens. There's a lot of stuff that's in the scriptures. There's a lot of stuff that the Bible teaches. And there's a lot of Bible teachers out there. There's a lot of really good stuff out there. And you can dive into the other parts of the Gospels. And I'm just going to say it. There is a, like, this is an example. This is where it can go. There is this new movement, and it is really to find, and we do it here. Jessica gets up and does the Passover Seder during Passover. And to see what the Old Testament scriptures, what the Hebrew Bible says about Jesus. It's amazing. And to dive into the Hebrew roots of our faith, we're Gentile. Most of us are Gentiles. There may be some Jewish Christians in this room, but most of us are Gentiles. But there's a movement to actually dive into Jewish roots, right? And to find out. And let me just say, it's good. It's really good. It's good to know where, like, Jesus was not an American. He was Jewish. They have different cultures. And actually, the more we understand Jewish culture, we understand Jesus, the better actually we'll be able to understand Scripture. So there's a friend of mine. He was telling me about a friend of his. And it was a lady who was into the Jewish roots movement. But she took it to an ungodly place. And she took it into this, you have to obey all the Torah. You have to obey all the Torah, meaning the law of Moses. You have to obey it all. And then they get to this, really, because you go, well, how do they read their, if you're a studier of the Bible, like, how do you read Romans and understand Romans or Hebrews or any of these other books, letters that taught, like, yeah. Well, what they say is, well, you know what? Paul wasn't really an apostle. And you can't, so they rip out what they say. This is what happens to people. And it gets ripped out and it says, well, Paul wasn't really an apostle. We'll just take all of his writings out. You know why? Because it messes with their doctrine. Yeah. And so this, and also, so this lady, I mean, as this guy was telling me, he's grieving because these are friends of his. Her husband's like, this is nonsense. She leaves her husband. Somehow that's godly. Because actually Paul says, hey, if you have an unbelieving spouse, stay with them and live a life in front of them that honors Jesus so that they might come to the truth. But no, she leaves him and moves up to Pennsylvania. How do people get off? Because they let go of sound doctrine. They let go. YouTube is great and extremely terrible all at the same time. All at the same time. So I just wrote a couple of things. What do you look for? What do you look for? How do you not fall in? Because it's really important, because there is so much teaching out there and everybody gets a platform. And when everybody gets a platform and everybody gets a voice and say what they want to say, and this is what I've seen from the scripture, or this is what I got in my prayer closet, or this is what, how do you know that it's sound doctrine? How do you know? Let me just give you some warnings. Things to watch out for. Is it a newer doctrine? Is it new? Is it something that somebody said, oh, I was reading my scripture of the Bible the other day, and all of a sudden I found out this. And it takes people away from the basics of the faith, right? I found this new thing. Hey, let me just say, new things aren't bad. Amen? We in this country, thank the Lord, we abolished slavery because some people had some bad ideas of what the Bible said about slavery. Amen. So I don't want to throw out everything that's new. Amen. But what I'm saying is be careful, especially things that are outside the mainstream, historically held beliefs and our foundations of the faith. Be careful. Be careful. Ask people that you trust, like Jessica. People that study scripture, that know the Bible, right? Be careful of new things. Hey, I got this new revelation. Is it works-based? Your salvation is based on your works. It is not by works. Now, your actions after you're saved, when you should start becoming more like Christ, but it's not works-based. How many of you are glad that God works with you on the way? Amen. That God didn't, you didn't get saved and all of a sudden he said, like that, obey all the Torah, obey all the law, everything, right? How many of you are glad that God has grace for you on the journey? It is not works-based. I would say this before. Does it change, here, let me say this. Does it change long-held beliefs about things? Does it change long-held beliefs about things? Long-held beliefs about things. Does our culture change the meaning? Does our culture's influence our interpretation of what we want the Bible to say? I will change my doctrine because I don't want to submit to some of the stuff that it says in there. Amen? So I'll change it, and I'll twist some words and pretend like I'm some Greek theologian. Right? I say it like this, because people are preaching their own convictions away. Does it change long-held beliefs about things? If you listen, careful that you upend the whole Christian thing by new teaching, is what I'm saying. Amen? Amen? Careful when new doctrine comes out of somebody's prayer closet. I say it like this. Jesus fasted for 40 days. The first recorded words that are recorded were the voice of the devil quoting scripture. Think about that. Right? Interesting that when Peter received the vision, or he received the vision about like everything is, especially for the Gentiles, like everything is okay to eat, right? So here's the story. So when he has that vision, God says, kill and eat. And he goes, I'm not going to eat that. It's unclean. Look, I hear that. He heard the voice of God saying, kill and eat. And he told the Lord, no, because your word says that's the right way to do it. I think you should question what you hear in your prayer closet. Does the word and traditions and does it back up what the Lord has said in the word? But carefully that you take things back to God's word. It's our foundation for literally as a believer, as a Christian for 2,000 years. You know what it really is? Think about the creed that we do every time we do communion. Are we straying away from the creed? He says, hold tight to sound doctrine. Hold tight. But I don't know about you. There's a lot of things that I'm working on in my own life. I'm learning how to love people better. I'm learning how to be a good pastor. I'm learning how to even be a better wife. No, you better be a husband to my wife. Hold on to sound doctrine. Hold on to sound doctrine, people. You should question what I say. You should question what I say. Don't be just that bird in the nest going, because things fall, a lot of things fall out of the sky. I'm trying to love my neighbor. I'm trying to love others as Jesus has loved me. You know what I don't have time, honestly, for? New stuff. I tell you what, you learn how to love if you're married in here, learn how to love your spouse, regardless of how they are and in all of their mess. Love them, treat them well, go out of your way to do nice things for them, all the things. Be you guys at work, be a good employee, because it's in the scriptures. Take care, do a good work as unto the Lord. Don't work as manservants, but work as to God. You know, Live like many of us, many of you have habits and things that you need to be getting rid of in your life. You need to be work on those. And when you get all that fixed, then go look for the deeper things. Because sometimes we look for the deeper things. We need to be, God is dealing with us about stuff. And really, honestly, it's a distraction. Because God is trying to change you into his image, which is the number one thing. Amen? Amen. David, you don't teach the deep things. Well, as soon as I get it straight, then you get it straight, we'll go on to some of the deeper things. Amen? Oh, it's quiet in here. That's a good sign. Let's see. That's what I said. I wrote it like this: is making you more like it's more like making you more like Jesus is helping others come to know him through your life. Getting those things down, and then you can ask for more. So anyway, okay, we're meddling a little bit. Here we go. He also tells us this. He says this to hold on to sound doctrine. And then he says this. He says, guard the good deposit that was in you by the Holy Spirit. Guard the good deposit that's in you by the Holy Spirit. So what's been imparted to you? What have you received by the Holy Spirit? What have you received from him? The deposit that was entrusted to you. How about the Word of God? God's Word that lies within you. Guard it. Hold on to it. Protect it. How about the calling that God has on you as an ambassador? That you are here to represent him on the earth and make him known on the earth. Guard that calling as an ambassador. What about the very working of the Holy Spirit that's inside you? Guard that. Hold on to it. How about this? How about the experiences that you have in your lifetime that have helped you grow into the person that you are today? Guard those things. But because if you don't guard it, he doesn't tell you to guard it just because he's looking for some words to say. He's saying guard it because it may be taken away from you. Guard it. Guard those things. The experience, like you think about Timothy. Guard those things. Remember all those trips we took. Remember that time in Ephesus we almost all died in that riot? Because we were speaking out against the Artemis, the goddess, and all those people, and they hated us. They hated us. Some people, like, it was like a mixed bag. Because remember, like, don't forget, Timothy, like, a lot of those people came to Jesus. And actually, so many people came to Jesus, that's why they were mad at us. Because they weren't making any money selling their little idols anymore. That's in Acts. You should read it. It's amazing. So they got mad. And a riot broke out. And they almost killed. Paul's like, anyway, this whole story, read it. The whole thing. You know what Paul says? Remember that? Don't forget that. Don't forget that, like, although all that crazy stuff happened, all these people came to Jesus. Like, remember that. Don't forget those things. Guard those things. Because that's been in you. How about this? Your identity that God has given you in Christ. We all know. Guard that thing. Because the enemy always wants to deal with your identity and who you are. How about your faith in him? Guard it. How about this? Your relationship with other people. Your relationship with your spouse. Your relationship with your friends. Your friends groups. Man, boy, if there's ever been an assault on relationships in our world. You know, Julie and I were talking. I said, who's the poor anymore? Julie, who's the poor? And she goes, I know one thing that people are poor in. And a lot of people, it's like relationships and friendships. We have surface relationships with people all over. God and Paul says, hey, Timothy, guard the thing that's been entrusted in you. How about this? The passion, like we talked about last week, the passion of God. The rekindling, last week we talked about the rekindling. The complacency that so many Christians are under. Paul says, guard that, what's been trusted in you. Guard it. You know what all these things tell me? Hold on to sound doctrine. Guard the things that have been entrusted with you. If you don't hold on to them, if you don't hold on to them, we can slip and fall into deception, or at the greatest thing, deception, the least just complacency and distraction. And then to guard the things that have been entrusted with us because we have because they can be taken away. You know what I was thinking about this? You know why? Because all of it's opposed. All of it is opposed. All of it is opposed. Sound doctrine is opposed because you and me, we have an enemy. Who all he wants to do is, we talk about it all the time, steal, kill. Kill? Kill. All he wants to do is kill. I was born in Georgia, praise the Lord. Kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. Amen. Glory. All he wants to do is steal from you. You, not your neighbor. Well, your neighbor too. But you. Kill. Maybe physically kill, but also kill dreams, kill hopes, kill passions. Kill the fire that's within you and destroy, bring destruction to everything that God's given you. He wants to destroy it. The things that you face are not just random occurrences. Especially as a believer, the enemy is out for you. So what does Paul say? Hold on to it. Guard it with everything you got. Because there's an enemy that wants to steal it away from you. The calling of God on your life. He wants to destroy it, rip it out. Calling of God, and do it many different ways. My wife and I, we went through our own marital stuff 20 years ago. 20 years ago. You know what? You know, I don't even know that the devil really just wanted to split us up. You know the bigger thing he wanted to do? Destroy the calling on our lives. That together, one who could put 1,000 flight, two to put 10,000. He wants to, you have an enemy. And it's not your spouse. It's not your employer. It's not your neighbor. You have an enemy that he wants to rob the things that have been imparted in you. And he wants to flip you away in this unsound doctrine. Amen? So what do? So many times. Resist. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith. Faith. Standing firm. Being strong. Like one scripture says, quit yourself like a man. You men in this room, make yourself alive as a man. Stand strong. Be the people of God that God's called you to be. Don't allow the fire to be quenched out of you. Don't allow, and of all places, Timothy, Ephesus. Because I know every time you go out that door, you see that big temple. I know every time you go out that door, you see all the prostitute stuff going on. I know every time you go out, you're oppressed because of what you believe. I know everywhere you look, there are people that are different. Welcome to 2023. What does Paul say to Timothy is the same thing Paul would tell us today. Be careful of bad doctrine. Hold tight to what's been put inside you because there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy it and take it from you. And for the people of God, we say no. Paul says, I know in whom I believed. I know in whom I believed. And I'm confident that he is able to keep in me what he's entrusted me with. Amen? I feel like I'm looking out over a congregation of champions that says, that wags the finger in the face of the enemy, goes, not to me. Not to me, you don't. Not to me, you don't, devil. I've watched God. You may be saying, I watched the enemy pick off this person and this person. This person doesn't even go to church anymore. This person doesn't even really follow God anymore. This person deconstructed their faith so much they just left the faith. But not to me. I am going to hold on to sound doctrine. I'm going to allow God to do the work in me that he needs to do in me. Because I know in whom I believe. And he has called me to be a light in a dark world. Amen? God has entrusted us with the light of the great gospel of Jesus. And the gospel is able to save, deliver, and heal. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. You still believe that, right? Like the facade, you still believe that the facade that our world puts out there, our culture puts out there, the people who try to do things and, so let me just define culture for a second. An ungodly culture, it's simply this. People trying to find life outside of the life giver. Mm-hmm. It's simply that. All the people that are around us and the things that we see and all the people that are trying to find life outside of God. And we know, you personally know, that that doesn't work. Because many of you tried it. It didn't work. Many of you even tried religion. It didn't work, but you found Jesus. The religious duty didn't satisfy it, but all of a sudden you found Jesus. And you found him and you had an encounter with him. And for some of us, it was a long time ago. I just hear the Holy Spirit even now just speak to me and say, even that truth for some, the remembrance of that has been, because it wasn't guarded, it was pulled out. And they've forgotten. You were away from God. And God in his mercy looked on you and said, he looked on me and said, David, I love you too much to allow you to keep going that direction. So he sent people in my life that would help me. He sent people in my life that would speak the truth to me. My brother-in-law who lives in Uganda. Huge, Eric's dad. Huge influence in my life. Thank God for a guy who was bold enough to preach the word and be a witness and an example to me. Thank God. Thank you, God. So who, like we said last week, who is God sending us to? Don't allow the enemy to steal what God's entrusted in you. Let's just do this. Put your hand over your heart this morning. I want you to think, just do some thinking right where we're at. We're going to be done in about 3 minutes. Do some thinking. What has God entrusted into me? Just you right there. Maybe it's some good teaching. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's just the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, he's entrusted me with these things. Maybe it's your family. Friendships, relationships. Now I want you to just picture yourself putting a guard, a good guard, with good armament, and locking that up. So I will not allow the enemy to come steal that out of me. No matter what. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Lord, I pray, God, as we have our hands over our hearts, I pray your protection. God, over that which you've entrusted us with. Father, all the things that we've thought of, even in this moment, God, I pray that you would help me to guard those things and be faithful with those things. We thank you, God. Lord, help me. God, Holy Spirit, we ask for your voice. That when we hear things that don't seem right, God, I pray that you would give us direction. Help us, Holy Spirit, that we would hold on to sound doctrine. I keep hearing this, and I'm just going to speak it over you. Scripture says this. He said, he will perfect that which concerns you. He will perfect that which concerns you. Those things in your heart, things that you're guarding, he will perfect those things which concerns you. Thank you, God. Only you can do it, God. We give you glory and honor, God. We love you, God. Hallelujah. We love you, God. God, you are worthy. And as Jessica said earlier, you're worthy of our trust. God, you're worthy of that all of our hope is in you. We trust in your faithful love towards us. We thank you, God, that you're slow to anger. We thank you, God, that you abound in love towards us. We thank you, God. We worship you in this place. Whew. Hallelujah, God. You're so good. Amen. Amen. Did you receive something from the Lord this morning? Amen. He's going to perfect that which concerns you. He is going to work in you. There's a people out there that needs the truth of the gospel. There's people out there that need hope. There's people out there masquerade and say they have life. And then when they go at home, when you don't see them, they battle depression and hurt and loneliness. God has called us as an army to be a people that love well, love other people, and be the example of Jesus. Listen, now think about that map I showed. Think about this. All that stuff was going on. I want you to open up your possibilities, because some of us have such a negative view of what could the future may probably going to bring. Think about that picture. Take that picture back up. That was the first map you sent. The gospel was birthed in persecution. It was birthed when everybody around them was falling away and serving other gods and doing other things. But a small group of believers lit a fire in the Roman Empire that spread throughout all of Rome. So is he able? Is he able again? Could it be that we could be on the verge? Because we know none of this works. None of the life that people are saying all works and all glorified, none of that works. Matter of fact, it brings brokenness. I believe we are primed. Either Jesus is coming back, or we are primed for another great awakening in our nation. I believe it with everything in me. Everything in me. I mean, all about Jesus coming back. That's great. But like Jessica always says, I got friends that don't know him. I got people around me that don't know him. Yet. Amen. Amen. One more time. Lift your hands right where you're at. God, I thank you. God, that you will send us out. We thank you, God. God, at first, I thank you. Thank you, God, that you have filled us with the Holy Spirit. You filled us with power. God, we thank you, God, that we are a light in the world everywhere we go. And God, just like that church in Ephesus, God, we will be the light wherever we go. Though none may follow, still I'll go after you, God. Though none go with me, still I'll follow you, God. And Father, I pray, God, that you would help me minister to the broken. minister to the hurting. God, help. I pray that you would help us to bring life wherever we go by the Holy Spirit within us. And God, this little light of mine, we're going to light it and blaze on fire for you. Like John Wesley says, I just want to be a fire. I want to be a fire so bright that people just come and watch me burn. God, fill me up, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Say it like you mean it this time. Say, I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I am an ambassador for the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, well equipped to do everything he has called me to do. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week.